This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott.
You have sired 533 children, and 142 of them wish to know your identity.
What?
You are the biological father of 533 children.
In the new movie Delivery Man, Vince Vaughn discovers that his donation has been used hundreds of times without his knowledge. Far-fetched plot? Maybe not. The U.S. does not track sperm donations. We have no idea how many are made, how often people donate, nor how many children are born from these donations. Renee Ameling is assistant professor of sociology at Yale. She wrote an op-ed piece for the New York Times about the unregulated sperm industry. Renee, thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me.
I was surprised to hear that there are no regulations in this industry. You outlined some of the consequences for the lack of oversight. What are they?
Yes, well, I think that there are three main consequences that people worry about. The first one is health risks to the children who are born from these donations. So it is certainly the case that the Food and Drug Administration requires that sperm banks test donors for particular diseases. And most sperm banks do several weeks' worth of screening. They are testing men both for infectious diseases as well as genetic diseases. However, most of the donors are young men, you know, men in their early 20s, and they don't necessarily know what diseases they might develop later. And in fact, in the Journal of the American Medical Association a few years back, there was a case study of one donor who unwittingly passed on a genetic mutation. He had 22 offspring, and they found out that the mutation had affected 8 of those 22 offspring, including a toddler who died from heart failure. Mm. So those are the kinds of health concerns that people have, and the greater numbers of children that are born from every donation, the greater numbers of children who are at risk of inheriting one of these genetic diseases.
Well, I've seen the ads looking for donors on college campuses and, you know, in magazines definitely aimed at the younger cohort. So they cast a pretty wide net. You actually compare it to a manufacturing model that's developed around this industry. What do you mean by that?
So I did research on egg donation and sperm donation for 4 years in order to write my book, Sex Sells, The Medical Market for Eggs and Sperm. And in doing that research, I traced the history of sperm donation and egg donation in this country. And I was fascinated to learn that sperm donation goes back 100 years. And for most of the 20th century, men were providing a few donations. They were fresh samples that were transferred from donor to recipient, and most sperm donors didn't provide more than 10 donations over the course of their career as a sperm donor. Most of the donors were actually medical students and residents. That changed with the advent of AIDS. It was no longer advisable to transfer fresh samples from sperm donors directly to recipients, and so sperm banks started providing frozen sperm. That allowed them to hold the sperm in quarantine for 6 months, after which they could retest the donor for HIV and then release those sperm samples. And so it was the complexities of having to manage donors and freezing sperm and shipping it out that really made it no longer possible for the local doctor to manage the sperm donations on his own, and so he turned to for-profit sperm banks. And so that's where it really did give rise to this model of mass manufacturing of sperm, such that we now are seeing donors who have 20 or 50 or even 150 offspring.
And also following the manufacturing model, the number of banks has consolidated.
That's right. So with the rising complexity of managing sperm donation, it was no longer possible for academic medical centers and local physicians' offices to manage sperm donation. And so they turned to these for-profit sperm banks. And it was in the 1990s, really, that we saw a tremendous decline in the number of sperm donation programs around the country. So now that there are only a few large banks that manage most of the supply of sperm in the United States.
How much are men typically paid for these donations?
So most sperm donors are paid around $100 per donation. And because of the large upfront investment in screening them, sperm banks ask that men come in at least once a week for an entire year. So this is very different than our popular notion of what a sperm donation involves, you know, where the guy on the sitcom goes down and to the sperm bank and makes $50 quickly. This is not how sperm donation actually happens. So men are going in at least once a week for an entire year. They're asked to abstain from any sexual activity for 48 hours before they donate to ensure that their sperm count is high enough. If their sperm count falls below bank standards, they aren't paid anything at all for that donation. So men are paid around $100 per donation if the sperm count is high enough. And then the bank will take that one donation and split it into one or two vials, even up to five or six vials, and then sell those vials to different customers.
Renee, why do you think the FDA has been so slow to regulate and track sperm donors?
Well, the FDA does regulate sperm donation to the extent that they require sperm banks to screen for infectious diseases. So the part of the FDA regulations that cover sperm banks come out of the Public Health Service Act, and so it is solely concentrated on contagious diseases. As a result, the FDA does not require sperm banks to test for genetic diseases, even though many sperm banks do test for genetic diseases, and the FDA doesn't collect any information about how many donors there are, how often they donate, or how many children are born from those donations. And that's where I think that we can do a very, very small tweak to the regulations and ask the FDA to start asking the sperm banks to report how many vials they are selling per donor. That would give us some idea, at least, of how many vials are out there and potentially how many of those vials might become children.
So the Vince Vaughn movie, Delivery Man, could this conceivably, and maybe that's not the right choice of words,
right.
Could this conceivably happen?
The movie Delivery Man includes a plot line of 533 children. And I think most people would think that that is pretty far out of the realm of possibility, but it remains true that we actually don't know the answer to that question. There have been substantiated reports of donors with at least 150 children in the New York Times. And so the numbers, while not approaching 533, are still quite large. And I think that it's important that we as a society have a discussion about whether or not we think that this is an appropriate way for sperm donation to happen.
That's what comes up for me, that you are a professor of sociology. What are the sociological implications of so many people walking around maybe sharing the same father?
So in addition to the health risks that I mentioned before to offspring, there are two additional concerns. One of them is unintentional incest. So if you have 50 or 100 or 150 children who are essentially half-siblings, they have the same biological father, then people have raised concerns about the theoretical possibility that those children might one day meet each other, particularly since many people don't tell their children that they actually use donated sperm to conceive them. So that's what I've seen so far as a theoretical risk. I don't know that I've seen any substantiated reports, but it is certainly a possibility. And then the other concern is that sperm donors are increasingly being asked to share medical information and potentially to even meet with their offspring after the children turn 18. And I think if we're going to ask men to be available in some way, either to provide medical information or family history, that we really need to think about what's reasonable to ask sperm donors to do, you know, to ask them to be available to 50 or 100 children. So those are the two other concerns in addition to the health risks that I mentioned.
Renee Almeling, Assistant Professor of Sociology at Yale, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Renee wrote an op-ed for the New York Times about the unregulated sperm industry. You can find a link to read it for yourself at wordofmouthradio.org.